were alive in 1989. How many guys weren't alive in 1989? How many teenagers?
Yeah,
look at all these big kids too. They're like huge.
Not even alive in 1989.
Well, there was something that changed the world in 1989, and it was a TV miniseries called Lonesome Dove. Was anybody there? Who watched Lonesome Dove when it originally aired? Yes, look at that. That is awesome. Well, Lonesome Dove is a Western. If you've never heard about it, you're weird, and I don't know where you come from. But Lonesome Dove is one of the greatest Westerns, if not the greatest Western that's ever been made. They had some great characters in Lonesome Dove. Remember, whose favorite was Captain Woodrow Paul? Anybody's favorite character? No, we really liked him. Good, thank you. What about Gus? Anybody? Gus! Yes, Gus is a good old boy, Ryan Duvall, actually. How about Newt, Ricky Schroeder? Yeah? We got a couple Newt fans. What was that little TV series that he was in? Silver Spoons, that was a classic too. So you guys don't remember that as well. You gotta be a child of the 80s to remember that, right? You know what I'm saying? What about Deets? Anybody a fan of Deets? I kinda like Deets. That's Danny Glover. Remember Danny Glover in that? Then you had Pete. Remember Pete? Remember the guy with the mustache? He really didn't talk a lot. You know what? He's probably my favorite because when he talked, you kind of listened. He's one of those quiet guys that, you know, really, he was your die-hard friend, would die for you kind of guy. I love that guy. What about Dish? Remember Dish? The evil, not evil, but young guy that had the hots for Lori. What about Lori? Any of the girls like Lori? Diane Kane, is that her name? What? Lane, that's right. Diane Lane. And what about Clara? Anybody remember Clara? Huh? Nobody liked her because she disgusts, right? You know, whatever. But there were some great characters. But there's one character that we probably pity, and some of us probably even hate him. And his name was Jake Spoon. Anybody remember Jake Spoon? Show that slide right there. You remember that guy? What's his real name? Robert Urich, right? Robert Urich, Jake Spoon. Jake was one of the characters. If you don't remember him, I mean, he's a great character in this miniseries. But he was a former Texas Ranger, if you didn't remember this, with Gus and Captain Call. He had been gone for about 10 years, and he had returned the Lonesome Dove. And he actually had returned as a fugitive. Remember that? I mean, he had gotten into a bar fight or something. He kind of made some story up, and he got in a bar fight, and he accidentally shot the dentist. He was actually the mayor as well, whose brother was the sheriff. Remember? July Johnson, remember him? And so he's on the run. He comes to Lonesome Dove, and he starts talking to Gus and Woodrow, and he starts talking to him, and he's talking about Montana and how cool Montana is and how they ought to drive a herd in Montana. And that's when Woodrow gets the idea that he'd like to do that. And Gus is like, well, you go ahead, kill all the Indians, and then I'll be there with the herd later. And he said, Jake and I'll bring the herd later. Well, Woodrow, his response was, yeah, what kind of herd are you going to bring, you know, without me? But here's the deal. Jake had this right idea, but he wasn't going to commit to go on the cattle ride, remember? He had other things on his mind. He met a girl named Lori or Loretta or whatever, however you say that, but he met really Lori. But he didn't commit to go on the cattle ride. He didn't even commit to Lori in the end, did he? He decided that he wanted to go gambling, so he left Lori on the way, and he didn't because he was a lazy bum. Well, later on in the movie, Jake joins, if you remember this, joins a group of horse thieves. Remember them? Scary people, right? I mean, really kind of evil people. Well, he joins this group or this band of horse thieves who were cold-blooded killers. One of the most dramatic scenes in the movie is when he shoots and kills these people that are these cowboys that had the horses, and then he shoots and kills. Remember the Sodbusters? Remember those guys, the ones that were the farmers, and they go up, and Dan, remember Dan, the evilest of all evil, shoots both of the Sodbusters. If you've never seen the movie, you need to watch the movie. But here's the deal. After they did that, after Jake and Dan and all the bad people did that, Gus and Woodrow find one of the guys that actually survived that shooting. And when he found them, he found out that Jake was actually a part of that shooting. Do you remember that? Remember how he found out? Remember how they knew? Dietz. Yeah, Dietz knew Jake's horse tracks. That was amazing. That's why I like Dietz. Dietz knew Jake's horse's tracks, and he knew that Jake's horse wasn't even stolen, but that Jake was on it because he knew the print in the dirt from Jake's horseshoe. Jake's horse's shoe. Well, here's the deal. Woodrow and Gus decide that they're going to hunt these killers down, right? They were Texas Rangers, and they're going to hunt these killers down, and they're going to hang them. Well, it ends up that they decided to hang Jake as well. And you say, well, why? Why did he hang him? Why did he want to hang him? Well, because they crossed the line, as Gus put it. Jake, who knew what was right, betrayed the Texas Ranger Code. He betrayed his leaders, Captain Woodrow Call and Gus. The Rangers stood for truth, honesty, and fairness, but he was led astray. And it led to his death. You remember at the hanging that they put them on their horses, right? Remember that? They hung the noose around their neck, they put them on their horses, and Gus would go by, and we had the horses by the halter, and he would let go of the halter, and then Gus would come by and just whip the horse, and the horse would take off, and then they would hang right there. But if you remember, Jake was the last one to go, right? Jake was the last one to go. And he knew he was guilty, even though he had never pulled the trigger, he knew that he was guilty. And what does he end up doing? Before Gus could scare his horse so that his horse would take out from underneath him, what did he do? He spurred his own horse. And he committed suicide because of the guilt, and he knew that he had crossed the line. See, Jake was a betrayer. And he was a traitor. Well, there's another person in the Bible that was also a betrayer. And in the Bible, we find this character. He had good friends. He walked amongst Jesus. He was taught what was right, but he chose to betray rather than believe in Jesus. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Judas Iscariot. Well, today, I want to start a mini-series of messages called Lessons Learned from Jake and Judas. Lessons learned from Jake and Judas. If you've never heard of Judas Iscariot, he's one of the most famous characters in the Bible, and he was famous for the all the wrong reasons. And his story is told in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. His story is told in all of them. He was chosen by Jesus as one of the 12 disciples. He was the only one who wasn't from Galilee, and he kept the money bag, if you remember. He kept the money bag for all the disciples. He was in charge of the money. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26 with me. And we're going to read about his story, and then we're going to learn a couple lessons from the story of Jake and Judas. Matthew 26, listen to what it says. We're going to skip around here, so you just follow on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, it says this. It says, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? He's talking about Jesus. So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. Anybody know what that was worth back then in our dollars? $7,500. $7,500, that's cheap. That's really actually cheap. 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And then skip down to verse 20. They're having the Lord's Supper. They're having the Last Supper with Jesus, all the disciples. And listen to what happens in verse 20. When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad, the disciples. They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born. And then it says, then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. And it was a question, surely not I, Rabbi. And then it skipped down to verse 47. Jesus is actually praying in the garden, and the arrest comes. Listen to this in verse 47. This is, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Anybody know who that disciple was? Peter. I love Peter. Peter wanted to fight, and he had his sword. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, put away your sword. Put it back in its place. Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, I can call on my Father, and he can come clean house. But this is what he says. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? We look at verse 55. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this is all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And if we skip down, we see the fate of Judas. Listen to this in Matthew 27, verses. I'll start in verse 1. I don't know if it's on the screen, but I'll start in verse 1 and we'll go through 5. Listen to what it says in chapter 27. It says, early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is it? What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and what? Hanged himself. Lessons we can learn from Jake and Judas. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to bless the rest of our time? Lord, I know that the stories that I've told already this morning aren't the most uplifting stories. But Lord, I know that we can learn from those who made mistakes. And so today, Lord, I pray that you would reveal the lessons that you want us to hear so that we don't make those same mistakes. Lord, we thank you that you are still alive. That though you were crucified on the cross, though you died, you are alive and you are well. And so we thank you that we serve a Savior that is risen. And we give you all the glory. In the name I pray. Amen. Lessons we can learn from Jake and Judas. Well, the first lesson is this, and I want you to get this. I've only got two lessons today. All right? The first lesson is this. Jake and Judas had a choice. I want that to sink in. Jake and Judas had a choice, and I know there's some debate on this, but they both had a choice. Jake had a choice, didn't he? I mean, Jake had the idea to go to Montana. I mean, he said, let's just drive these cattle up. I mean, it's beautiful up there. He had the idea, but he didn't make the right choice, did he? He could have joined up with Gus and Woodrow. He could have made the cattle drive. He could have gone, and they could have had a good time. And he chose not to do that. And he also chose to desert Lori. And Lori wanted to move to San Francisco. Remember that? And move to San Francisco, but he was not into that, and he chose not to. Instead, he chose to run with the devil's kind, and it led to his death. Well, the same is true for Judas. Judas had a choice. Some would say that God made Judas betray Christ. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God tempts anyone to do any type of evil. The Bible teaches us that God doesn't tempt us with evil. We are tempted by the devil. And while God's ultimate plan was for Jesus to be crucified, again, God never tempts us. Judas went to the priest on his own. I don't know if you caught that, but Judas went to the priest on his own. It was his choice to betray Jesus. He wasn't being made by the priest. He did it voluntarily. He could have trusted, obviously, in Christ. He could have made the right choice, but he chose not to. And you say, well, no, Bo. I mean, surely Judas, I mean, he walked with Jesus, right? I mean, surely he believed. Surely he was a Christ follower. I mean, surely he was a believer. Well, Scripture shows us that Judas never made a decision to make Jesus his Savior. You say, well, where's that at? Matthew chapter 26, we just read it, verse 25. It gives us some clues. Listen to it again, Matthew 26, 25. It says, then Judas, the one who betrayed him, said, surely not I, what? Rabbi. Surely not I, Rabbi. You know what that shows me? Most, and if not all, the disciples called him what? Lord. They called him Lord. You know why? Because he was the Lord of their life. He had led them in everything. They had trusted in him. They had placed their faith in him. But what does Judas call Jesus? Rabbi. And you know what that stands for? It stands for teacher. All he saw him as was teacher. And he didn't call him Lord. This shows us that he didn't know Jesus as Lord. He just knew him as teacher. Judas did not know Christ as his personal and Savior. You say, well, what about, what else? I mean, what other passage maybe shows us that Jesus wasn't a believer? Look at Luke chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. And listen to this. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. What's that first part say? Then Satan entered Judas. Now, I don't want to really talk too much about spiritual warfare. I don't want to talk too much about demons and the devil, but here's the truth about them. You can go to one extreme and to the other extreme. One extreme says that we don't talk about demons. We don't talk about the devil. That's scary. And I agree. There evil is scary. But then there's the other extreme, and you guys maybe know some people that want to look for a demon under every plate and every teacup. You know what I'm saying? Oh, there's a demon right there. You know, cast him out. And all that stuff. It's one extreme or the other. But here's the truth. We talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about evil because you know why? The Bible talks about it. You say, well, that's scary stuff. I don't want to hear anything about demons or about Satan or any of that stuff. Well, too bad. Because that's what the Bible talks about, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm not going to really go off on this, but I want to clear some things up. Can a Christian be possessed by a demon? Can they? Well, my answer to that question is absolutely not. Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, there is no place for a demon or the devil even to enter into our lives. Our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there is no room for a demon. While a Christian, listen, and get this, yeah, I want to get this clear. While a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, they can be influenced by a demon. Right? I mean, they can. And you say, again, I don't believe in demons and the devil. That's fine. You can be wrong. I don't know how to say that. But we can be influenced. But here's the truth. Judas wasn't influenced. He had the devil inside of him. Scriptures don't lie. Because the devil was able to enter into Judas, he was therefore not a believer. And you say, well, the truth is, while Satan played a part in Judas's betrayal, Judas still had a choice. Right? He still had a choice. And the same is true for us. Listen to this. The same is true for us. We all have a choice. You can either choose to accept Christ into your life, or you can choose to reject him. You can choose to betray Christ if you know him and not honor him, or you can choose, again, to honor him. And we all have a choice. The truth is, when we disobey, if we know Christ, when we disobey him, it's like we place him back on the cross and we crucify him all over again. You say, well, how do I do that? How are you telling me that I betray Christ every time he disobeys? We turn our back on him. He gives us a choice and we choose to betray him. And as a believer, listen, we can never use the excuse, the devil made me do it. I've heard people say, you know, the devil made me do it. I couldn't control that. Listen, we can be influenced by the devil, but Jesus Christ always provides a way out. You get that? Listen, maybe some of you guys are struggling with some certain sin in your life. You're thinking, man, the devil's got a hold of my life. Listen, let me just clear this up as well, and I don't know why I'm on this, but let me just clear this up. The devil is limited. The devil's not omnipresent. You know what that means? Everywhere at once. The devil is one being, one evil being, one evil spirit, and he can't be everywhere at once. So probably not. The truth is that you're not being, you know, influenced by the devil, because he can only be in one place at a time. But he does have demons, and they can influence us. But here's the truth again. As a believer, we can't never use that excuse that the devil made me good. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Listen to this. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand underneath it. Listen. If you know Christ personally, you always have an opportunity and a way out. God promises that he's going to provide that way. And he always gives us a choice. We can obey or we can disobey. But here's the other truth of that. That's for the Christian. For those of you that don't know Christ personally, guess what? The devil and his demons can have full reign over your life. And you say, no. Again, I don't believe on that stuff. Okay. Listen, if you've never accepted Christ in your life, guess what? There is a hole. It's like they parallel to an empty house. It's like having an empty house. And guess what? When you don't have Christ in your life, guess what? The doors are all open in your house. The windows are all open in your house. And evil can get into your life and destroy you. I see it all the time. And so for some of you, you're walking alone. The devil and his demons have full reign to control your life, to overtake you anytime, any place, and anywhere. Your trail to habitual sin or addiction and evil can happen in an instant because you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't want to scare anybody. This isn't my intent, but it's true. And I would be a sorry pastor if I didn't tell you the truth. So the first lesson is this. Jake and Judas, they had a choice. They had a choice. They could have chosen to do what's right, or they could have chosen to do what's wrong, and that's what they chose. Here's the second lesson that we can learn from Jake and Judas. Second lesson is this. Both Jake and Judas were fakers. They were fakers. And it kind of goes back to what I just said. You know, while Jake was a Texas Ranger, and I know his fictional character, I mean, this was really a movie, and we kind of speculated a little bit, but I don't want to do that today. I believe that Jake's character had always been bent, let's say that again. His character and his life was bent on evil. He may have served as a Texas Ranger, but deep down in his character, he was probably always dishonest and a traitor. You can kind of sense it. If you watch the movie, when Jake comes and he sits down at the table and he tells the story about how the dentist got shot, you can sense that there's probably a little bit of evil in him. And he's probably not telling the truth. Look at how he treated his friends. I mean, he deserted them. He was conniving. He was lazy. He was selfish. He treated, you know, women. He had no commitment to women. He had no loyalty. Remember when he was fixing to be hanged? And Gus looks at Jake and he says, "Hey, I just wanted you to know that we found Lori." Because Lori had been taken by Blue Duck, remember that? And he looks at him and he says, "I just wanted you to know, Jake's on his horse fixing to be hanged." Gus looks at him and says, "I just want you to know that we found Lori." And guess what he says? Who? Again, Jake was a faker. Jake was a faker. While on the outside he was a charming and appeared to be a man of integrity, he was really bent toward evil because he was a fake. And another part of that story, remember when he gets caught and he claimed that he was innocent? Remember that? Remember Gus said, "You know how it goes, Jake. You ride with an outlaw, you die with an outlaw." Why? Because you cross the line. And remember Jake's reply at that moment? He says, "I've never seen a line. I've never seen a line." But the truth is, listen to this. Jake was taught the line. Listen, he knew it. He watched others live by that line or that code or the Texas Ranger code. Gus and Captain had taught him that line. But he was a fake and he crossed the line. And Judas, guess what, was the same way. Again, you may say, "Well, Judas, you know, he was probably a believer and then he just lost his salvation." He was probably just a believer and truly believed in Christ, but then he just lost his faith. The truth is, you can't lose your salvation, but you can fake it. You can fake it. Judas faked it. Judas, he looked like a follower of Jesus. He acted like a follower of Jesus. He talked like a follower of Jesus. He was even educated at the greatest seminary that has ever been on the face of the earth, the Seminary of Jesus. Do you get that? I mean, he knew better. I mean, he's speaking walk with Jesus. It wasn't like he was taught by a professor at the local seminary. He walked with Jesus. He knew. He was educated. And he knew what to say, but he didn't believe it. Listen, his true character came out early on. In John chapter 12, remember the story? Mary and Martha? Mary grabs this bottle of perfume, and she anoints Jesus' feet with this perfume, pours it out all over Jesus. And guess what Judas' reaction is? Listen to it. John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Judas says this. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. He objected to this. Listen to what he said. "Why wasn't that perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." But listen to this. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. A keeper, as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Listen, here you got Judas walking with the disciples, walking with Jesus, and he's claiming to know Jesus. He's claiming to follow Jesus. He's acting like it, but the truth is, he was robbing Jesus. He was robbing them. Listen, Judas's betrayal of Jesus was not a change in his character. It was the revealing of his character. You get that? Let me say that again. That's powerful. Judas's betrayal of Jesus was not a change in his character. It was just the revealing of his character because his character was always bent toward evil. He hadn't changed. He had simply been exposed. He had simply been exposed. Now you say, "Well, how does that apply to me, Bo?" Well, let me personalize it. Some of you are faking it. And again, I can't convince you that you are. I don't know. But I know that I look around and I see a lot of Christians that maybe have what Jesus had. They got the talk. They got, you know, they hang around with, you know, church people. They come to church. They've been around church. They know a few Christians. They have parents that maybe knew the Lord, but they're just faking it. Listen, you can be 15, you can be 35, you can be 65, and all you've ever done was fake it. And you say, "Well, how do I know?" How do I know if I'm faking it or not? Here's how I guess you can know. Just like Judas. You act one way in public, and in private, you're totally different. And I know this is in your face, but listen, this point right here might save somebody's life, and you need to hear this. Church doesn't save us. Walking with other Christians don't save you. Your parents, because they're a Christian, doesn't save you. You know, bringing your Bible to church doesn't save you. Knowing all the talk, walking, you know, eating dinner with the preacher, that doesn't even save you. That was a joke, by the way. Listen, if you're here today and you say, well, you know what, I look at my life, and publicly I do look like a Christian on the outside, but inside I know privately I have no relationship with Him. Listen, can I just encourage you today? Come clean. Stop faking it. You say, well, what do people think? I mean, I've been in this church since the inception of this church. I'm a team leader. I work on a team. I mean, I've led this. I've led that. Listen, it doesn't matter what people think. The only person that matters is Jesus Christ. That's the only person. Can I get a clap on that? Woo! Come on, now. He's the only person that matters. And so swallow your stinking pride and humble yourself and say, okay, God, I'm tired of faking it, and I want to be the real deal. Listen. You say, well, you know, why are you so uptight? Listen, I'm not uptight. I just want to see people make it to heaven. That's my ultimate goal, is to see people make it to heaven. You can fake it all you want. You can talk the lingo. You can come to church, you know, you can do all that stuff. But none of that stuff will truly save you. You have to believe it in your heart. And you know what happens when you believe it in your heart? You live it out. Not just publicly, but privately. And so here's the question. Who are you privately? Are you a Christian who loves Jesus and hates your sin? Or are you just like Jake and Judas and you're faking it? Are you faking it because it makes your parents happy? Are you faking it because, you know, it makes your friends happy? Are you faking it because it benefits you in some way? Again, my advice is come clean. It could have saved Jake's life. And I guess what? If Judas would have repented to Christ, guess what Jesus would have done? He would have forgiven him. But it's too late for them. But it's not too late for you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Now, here's the truth. What typically happens in a lot of churches, not all churches, is that we would have an invitation where you would come to the front and we would make a, you know, kind of a scene or whatever. We don't do that at Thousand Hills. We try to tear down religious barriers that keep people from making true decisions. And while we believe that you shouldn't be ashamed and you should desire to make your decision public, we're not going to force you to do that in front of 200 some people. But here's the truth. Some of you need to make the right choice. Some of you have been choosing evil rather than good. Some of you have been choosing the devil's ways rather than Jesus' ways. But you have a choice. And I don't know if you realize it or not, that is a great thing. That is a great thing that Jesus has given us a choice. He's not left us to burn in hell. He's given us a choice so that we can walk streets of gold and enjoy mansions on the hilltop in heaven. And so some of you are here today and you need to make that choice. For the first time, again, if you've made a choice and you're just backslidden or you know Christ personally, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the person that has never truly given their heart to Christ. You have a choice to make. and you can make it today. Jesus said in John chapter 14, or verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so here's the challenge for you that maybe have never chosen that. Give your life to him. Surrender your life. Don't chase money. Don't chase women. Don't chase boys. Don't chase the world. Because guess what? None of that will ever fill the void in your heart. Only Christ can do that. And so maybe you need to make that choice today. And just in a simple prayer, in your own heart, not out loud, just in your own heart, you say, okay, God, I realize today that I'm a faker. And I'm not going to let people or what they think keep me from making a true decision for you. And I need you to forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things that I've done. And I need you to save me. I confess you not as my rabbi, not as just a great teacher, but as the Lord of my life. Then you need to just pray that. The Bible says that you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means he can give you eternal life. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. Again, we're not going to call you down to the front, but that one sheet that Wes mentioned, you can grab one of those on your way out, orange or blue or whatever color they are on the table out there. Fill that out. Put it in the offering bucket, and we will contact you. Listen, I had a chance to talk to an individual who on Easter gave his life to Christ. Wasn't a little bitty kid. It was a grown adult who gave his life to Christ, and he's been changed forever. Praise the Lord. And you can join him today. And so if that's you, and you just prayed that prayer for the first time, fill out on the sheet. We would love to follow up and help you grow in your walk. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've already given your life to Christ, but you've hidden it. For way too long, you've hidden it. And you say, I don't really want people to know. I mean, people are surprised when they see you at church because you don't live the way that you claim you are to live. Listen, it needs to change for you today as well. None of us are perfect. But that's no excuse to live in habitual sin. It's no excuse to give in to evil because you have the power to overcome it if you know Christ. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're a Christian already. You know that you have that conviction in your life. Every time you sin, you feel it. You feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, but you just continue to betray Christ by disobeying. Maybe you need to, in your heart, and again, nobody's looking around, nobody's going to point you out, but maybe in your heart, you just need to say, okay, God, I'm getting real. I'm coming clean. I mean, you already know. You already know I'm faking it. I mean, you already know that I'm not living for you. Even though I gave my heart to you, I'm not living for you. But I want to. So maybe that's you. Maybe you need to make that turn today and give him all you got. Can I just encourage you, if you'll do that, you can change the world. Because here's the truth, and I'm done. You know what the world looks at when they look for something to save them? They look at us. And they go, is that really real in his life, or is that fake? Is that Jesus that they talk about and that they sing to and they hoop and holler about and they have a good time at church about? Is he really real? And you know how they judge whether he's real or not? They judge it by looking at us. And so you can either lead others close to Christ or to a relationship with Christ, or you can lead them away. What are you doing? I hope that you're leading them close. Lord, I come to you, and I just ask you, and I pray today as I always pray every week and every day, that you would save somebody, that you would show them their void in their life, and that they would realize that only Jesus can fill that void. And so, Lord, I pray that there have been people in this place that have accepted Christ for the first time. And it's changed their life forever. And I thank you that it's true that we've seen that in the last few weeks. Thank you so much. And Lord, for us as Christians, may we not continue to live a complacent life or a lukewarm life. But may we be hot for you. May we be sold out for you. And may people see that, and may they come to know you because of us. So Lord, we give you all the glory. And may we come back next week and learn more lessons from Jake and Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.